I think it's really hard for us not. I know that Meredith, you've talked when we've prepared for this session that you feel somewhat obligatory to file an apply, reply brief, that you feel like if I don't do one, then there's something wrong because I haven't done a reply brief. So I think it's in our nature to file a reply brief, but I think that you need to sit back and go and take it from the court, because here you're trying to get to assist the court in deciding the case in your favor. So I think the question you have to ask yourself, am I going to bring something new to this reply brief that will assist the court in deciding the case in my favor? If you have done an excellent job in your appellant's brief and it's all there, and as Giselle said, if the appellee brief hasn't made sense or isn't bringing anything new to the table, then you need to say, I'm not adding anything new, and I'm just putting something there that is not necessary, and the Court of Appeals doesn't need it, or the Texas Supreme Court doesn't need it. So I think you really need to ask yourself, is my reply brief really bringing something that will assist the court in making its decision? Always remember that briefs are there to help the court decide a case.
So sometimes not filing a reply could be quite a strong statement in and of itself. Yeah. So moving on, let's move to this next point, organization. How should a reply brief be organized? Should it be in the same order as the appellee's arguments or the appellant's original arguments, or should an appellant feel free to just reorganize everything?
I think that you have the best effort in a reply brief to completely organize it differently. Going back to what we discussed, that you're replying to appellee's brief. So, of course, it's going to be very difficult because we've seen the nonsensical and out-of-order appellee's brief. That won't make any sense, so then you're not going to file a reply brief. But assuming for the sake of argument that you do get a reply brief that you feel you need to answer to based on misstatements of facts, whether it's the underlying case or the procedural posture of the case or the law, then I think you start by saying, we're replying because we feel it necessary to address some issues in the appellate's brief that are incorrect or need to expound out, or whatever it is that you feel you need to reply, and address the appellee's brief directly on, especially if they bring up an issue, and we'll discuss this later on, such as a waiver or preservation of error, then you need to address those one by one, as you would in a reply. This is why their misstatement of facts procedurally is incorrect, and this is really the correct facts.
So I appreciate it when in the reply brief, the appellant goes kind of point by point from the appellee's brief, just for my sake. I understand that not everybody agrees that that's the best thing, that you should, you know, make sure that you put your points that you want, that you think are important, ahead. But for those of us, especially like me, who are OCD, it really is helpful to make sure that I'm not looking through, okay, what is your response to, you know, Pelly's second issue or second point? Same thing. I wish that more of the appellee's briefs would follow a little bit of what the appellants did. That obviously does not need to be that way. But I think it's important that you make sure you address every single issue. And it's easier for me when I'm reading if I know I've got 1-1, 2-2, you know, and so forth, versus, okay, where's the answer to that? And did they answer, you know, the third issue?
Okay, moving on, address any misstatements of fact or law. Would you say this is the reply brief's highest and best use?
I think it is. I mean, I think, you know, this is your final chance to tell us why the appellee's got it wrong. And so if you've got, you know, facts that have been misstated, if you have authority, like I said originally, this is your time to give us extra authority that you haven't given us, or if they're not being completely truthful with what the authorities say, I think that is the highest use of the reply brief.
Definitely on the reply brief really gives you an opportunity to discuss, I think, I mean, you always point out the facts, especially if they say something that's incorrect. But it really is an opportunity if the appellee says, we have a case, and this case is really on point, and whether you address that in the appellant's brief, it's really your opportunity to go, appellee is relying on this case. Well, let me tell you why this case doesn't apply. And it's that one time where you get to expound more on a case. Discuss more the facts of that case and what the court decided and why it does or does not apply or help or not help. That reply brief will give you that opportunity that you may not have had in your appellant's brief because you're trying to get all your issues in during a word count. And it gives you that extra ability to go, let's really flush out this legal issue and this case that appellee is relying on. And if they rely on it and it's incorrect or the standing is not correct or there's another case that's even more relevant, that's really the time to shine in the reply brief that a lot of practitioners do not do.